Hey, future doctors. Thanks for tuning in to Spoonful of Sugar, a podcast made for medical students by medical students to help the medicine go down. My name is Julia Shepherd. I'm a fourth-year medical student at the University of New England College of Osteopathic Medicine, and I will be your host today. Picture this. It's your first day on the ICU, and you're on hour three of rounds being serenaded by the various beeps and alarms of critically ill patients. Your attending asks you to present your patient, so you provide the overnight updates, AM labs, the physical exam, and changes you think should be made to the plan today. But your attending points out you actually forgot to mention the vent settings, and then hands you an arterial blood gas. The dreaded question comes, what do all these numbers tell you, and how can we optimize them? It's okay, take a deep breath, pun totally intended. Today, we're going to tackle the basics of mechanical ventilation to help you understand the modes, the numbers, and how you can change them to best support your patient and show your smarts to your attendings. Let's start with a tour of the vent. I'll speak broadly to the general setup, but it can be helpful to open up an image and follow along. Every hospital will have different models, but for the purpose of this episode, we'll use the example of a Covidien 980 series ventilator. The first thing I look at on the screen are the numbers at the bottom. These are the settings that you want the patient to do. In the lower left-hand corner, you see the mode. This will say something like SPOND or AC/VC or PS, and we'll talk about what all these modes mean in just a little bit. As you move across the bottom of the screen, you'll see a bunch of different numbers corresponding to parameters you might be able to set. Let's talk about the ones you need to pay attention to on the most common mode used, AC/VC. F, this is the first one you'll see. This is flow. What might flow be? It's the rate of breaths per minute. You can think of it as your respiratory rate. Next, you might see VT. This is your tidal volume. What is tidal volume? The volume you are setting each breath to contain on inhalation. Then there is TI. This is your inspiratory time. It's how long you want the delivered breath to take. For the most part, on AC/VC, this is set to 1 second and is usually a variable you can only change on PC mode. A little farther to the right, you'll see O2. Now guys, this one you should totally know. What is it? The fraction of inspired oxygen in percentage. Most patients on the ventilator will have at least some supplemental oxygen being delivered, but remember GCS of 8 intubate? There's a lot of reasons why people might be on a ventilator that don't have anything to do with respiratory failure related to their lungs. So just keep that in mind. While we're on the topic though, what are the two main types of respiratory failure? Hypoxic and hypercapnic, exactly. Let's move on. Below that, you will see the infamous PEEP. What is PEEP? It stands for positive end expiratory pressure. Essentially, it's a little boost of pressure we give at the end of expiration to help prevent the alveoli from collapsing and keep them open to continue oxygenation. An important fact to remember is all patients need a PEEP of at least 5 on the ventilator just to get past all of the tubing. All right, let's move on to the top of the screen. These are the numbers the patient is actually doing. Ventilators are there to ensure a patient is breathing, but that doesn't mean the patient is doing what the vent is actually set to do. These numbers aren't always something you'll report every day to your attending, but they're a helpful gauge of what's actually going on in the system and can tell you what that patient might need. For example, they can tell you about sedation level, acid-base balance, and if the patient is feeling hypoxemic. The most important numbers you need to look at are P, peak, VTE, F, tote, and the I to E ratio. What is P, peak? It's the peak pressure. That's the total pressure at the very top and very end of the inhalation. Forgive me, but you might have to remember some of your lung physiology here. Normally, when we take in a breath, our rib cage expands. This increases the volume of the thoracic cavity, and thus decreases the pressure within that system to be lower than the atmospheric pressure. This negative pressure is the physiologic way that we are able to bring air into the lungs during inspiration. Let me say that again. In a normal, healthy individual, a physiologic, spontaneous inspiration involves negative pressure. When we exhale, usually this is passive. The lung tissue recoils, the muscles of respiration relax, thus the volume in the thoracic cavity will decrease and allow the pressure to increase above atmospheric pressure. Air will then passively leave the lungs from high to low. In a mechanically ventilated patient, we're using positive pressure breaths, not negative, to force air into the lungs. The physiology can get a little bit confusing, but what it really means is we have to be aware of the pressures we're creating within that system. Changes in the pressure come from respiratory compliance, airway resistance, and the mode we're using to ventilate. So let's come back to peak pressure. What is this composed of? It's the sum of pressures needed to overcome both airway resistance and compliance of the chest wall and the lungs. The plateau pressure is similar to peak pressure in that it's at the end of inspiration, but plateau pressure is in a static system with no air movement. Now, I know this makes zero sense, so let's visually picture a balloon. When you blow up a balloon, it takes a lot more pressure in the beginning to inflate the balloon than it does to actually keep the balloon inflated. Peak pressure is like when you're inflating the balloon at first. It's going to be higher than plateau pressure, which is when you're just holding everything open. On some machines, the plateau pressure might be estimated on the upper right-hand corner of the machine, but to actually measure it, you have to do a static hold. A static hold is an inspiratory hold maneuver that will test the lung compliance. It gets rid of pressure contributed from the airway by closing that valve and will just show you the pressure in the alveoli. Now please, to perform a static hold is outside of your scope as a medical student. This is something your attending or the respiratory therapist might do together. But what is within your scope is knowing the difference between a high peak pressure and a high plateau pressure. When the machine alarms, it'll show high peak pressure. All this means is that there's an elevated pressure within the system. It won't differentiate if there's an elevated peak or an elevated plateau. Visually on the screen, you might be able to estimate that the plateau is elevated, but again, you have to do that inspiratory hold. Differentiating a high peak pressure from a high plateau pressure is very important. What does an elevated peak pressure mean? It's an increase in airway resistance. What might be some causes for increased airway resistance? You can think of a mucus plug, severe bronchospasm, or most commonly, ET tube obstruction. So make sure the tube isn't kinked and make sure your patient isn't biting on it. So then what is an elevated plateau pressure? This is decreased pulmonary compliance. What might be some causes of decreased compliance? Pulmonary edema, atelectasis, pneumonia, and most importantly, pneumothorax. To summarize, an elevated peak has often nothing to do with the lung and everything to do with the machine. And your elevated plateau has everything to do with your lung. All right, let's move on from that brief but very important tangent. The next number you should pay attention to is VTE. Based on what you know of VT, what might this be? Exactly. It's the tidal volume your patient is actually getting, or as we say, pulling. You'll also want to look at FTOT, which is your total flow, which is the total breaths your patient is actually taking, exactly. You should try to compare these two numbers to what you set them to be, as this will give you a reflection of what the patient really needs from you. Lastly, you have your I to E ratio. This is your inspiration to expiration ratio. Your I to E ratio was set by your flow and your inspiratory time. For example, if you set your flow to an easy number like 15, this tells the machine you want to deliver 15 mandatory breaths a minute. On VC mode, we talked about how your inspiratory time is usually set to 1 second. This means that if there are 15 breaths in a minute, each breath takes how long? 4 seconds. And if your inspiratory time is 1 second, that leaves you 3 seconds for expiration. So you end up with an IDE ratio of 1 to 3. Exactly. All right, I know that was a lot, but we've completed our tour of the numbers. So let's move on to talk about modes. In the lower left-hand corner of the screen, this is where the mode is reported. We'll go through the most common modes used and talk about them in an order of amount of support they provide. I found this was the most helpful for me to conceptualize what the machine was providing and not get them confused. I'm also not going to talk about the modes in the most scientific, physiologic way. I'm going to try to bring it down to a lower level to help you get the basics. The full support mode on the ventilator is called assist control. In assist control, we use mandatory breaths determined by the flow. If a set amount of time has gone by and the patient hasn't triggered their own breath, the machine will deliver a forced positive pressure breath. Most commonly used is AC/VC. This is volume control. Just like the name sounds, volume control is where you set a mandatory tidal volume to be delivered with each breath. There is also AC/PC. This is pressure control. Every breath in pressure control is delivered with a set pressure for a set amount of time. Pressure control can be helpful for recruiting the patient to work a little bit more, but you sacrifice having a consistent tidal volume. For our partial support modes, we have PS and SIMV. PS stands for pressure support. This is a mode where the patient triggers all of their own breaths and the machine will deliver additional pressure to help overcome resistance. Pressure support is helpful to practice for a spontaneous breathing trial. It's also the most comfortable, as it allows for patients to control their own ventilation and will give you the least amount of dyssynchrony. SIMV stands for Synchronized Intermittent Mandatory Ventilation. You can think of SIMV as a hybrid mode where you can combine pressure support with volume control or pressure control. In this mode, when a patient triggers their own breath, all of the mandatory parameters are turned off and only pressure support will be given. If the patient fails to trigger their own breath, the machine will deliver a mandatory breath set by parameters according to either volume control or pressure control. In theory, SIMV should be helpful for weaning because the patient can take their own breath, but there's this backup safety net. However, in practice, it wasn't found to be this way, and you'll see SIMV mode used most frequently in the surgical setting, because it is useful for weaning off of a short period of sedation or ventilation. The last mode we'll talk about is the one with the least amount of support, spontaneous. This is where the patient is doing all of their own work. However, you can add PS mode to give that pressure support if needed. Great, so what should you tell your attending during rounds? Always start by saying the mode. In general, during patient presentations, we like to provide these headers so that your attending is able to anticipate what they might be able to hear from you next. We'll use AC/VC as our example because this is the most common mode you'll see. So you'll tell your attending the patient is on AC/VC, and then you'll give them 4 specific numbers. Based on what you've learned already, what might these numbers include? Let's try a hint. AC/VC controls the volume. Right, so that's at least one of the numbers you'll want to tell them, the tidal volume. You'll also want to tell them about the flow, which is your respiratory rate, the FiO2, and the PEEP. To recap your formal presentation, it might sound like this. Intubation day 5, mode is set to AC/VC 12, 450, 40, 5. Now you might be saying, wait, Julia, what? That was a lot of numbers. Can you break it down again for us? Your mode is set to AC/VC. 12 is your flow, 450 is your tidal volume, 40 is your FiO2, and 5 is your PEEP. So your presentation will say AC/VC, flow, tidal volume, FiO2, PEEP. Make sense? Now let's say your attending hands you the most recent ABG taken on your patient and asks you what settings you can optimize. Where do you even start? First, we want to talk about ventilation and oxygenation. Ventilation is what? Moving air in and out of the lungs. On an ABG, the parameters that signify ventilation are pH and PCO2. On the ventilator, your parameters for ventilation are respiratory rate and tidal volume. But this makes sense, right? Because we're talking about air moving in and out of the lungs. Of course, we want to know about the amount of air moving in and out and how frequently we're doing so. What is oxygenation? This is the act of delivering oxygen to the bloodstream and thus the tissues. On an ABG, you'll look at your PaO2 for your oxygenation. You can also use your pulse oximetry, but that's not on an ABG. On the ventilator, the parameters you can alter for oxygenation are your PEEP and your FiO2. Let's see if we can apply this information. The ABG comes back with a PaO2 of 356. What can you change? You can decrease your FiO2. Always try to keep in mind oxygen toxicity. We want to reduce the amount of supplemental oxygen we're giving someone, so you want to adjust your vent settings to only give the minimum FiO2 required for adequate oxygenation. You can also change the PEEP, but we always start with the FiO2 first because of that. What if your ABG came back with a PCO2 of 85? What could you change? You could increase your respiratory rate. You could also increase your tidal volume. Be mindful when you change your tidal volume of lung protective ventilation. This is the general rule that we should only provide 6 to 8 milliliters per kilogram of ideal body weight when ventilating. What if the nurse came in and told you the pulse ox was stuck at 80% with no response to an increase in FiO2? What else could you change? You could increase your PEEP. Excellent work, guys. That should be enough to give you a solid foundation for your first week of ICU rounds. Let's do a quick recap. What numbers on the screen tell you what the patient is actually doing? The top. What is the most common ventilation mode used? AC/VC, referred to as volume control. How would you present your patient on AC/VC mode? Respiratory rate, tidal volume, FiO2, PEEP. What parameters on the vent affect your pH and your PCO2? Your respiratory rate and tidal volume. What parameters affect your PaO2? PEEP and FiO2. Thanks for tuning in today. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, visit our website at spoonfulofsugar.org and post them under the link for this episode. Good luck with studying and good luck with rounds. Remember that if you ever have an SOS moment while studying, Spoonful of Sugar is always here to help the medicine go down.